Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. If you can hear a little bit of ambiance behind Jim, he is at the Conservative Political Action Conference, the 38th annual CPAC in Washington. It's a sea of Tea Party activists, conservatives, establishment Republicans. Jim, how do you sort them all out?
Oh, Greg, I'm going to say every person listening to this, if you've ever thought about coming to CPAC, you really should, because frankly, there's almost no way I can get information out to you. That's the only way you can figure out what's going on here. We're at the Marriott here in Washington. The cellular phone signal is a little bit on the weak side. The wireless signals range from weak to non-existent. But I understand it's going to improve. Next year, they've booked a network of subterranean caves on the dark side of the moon, no less. And it'll be easier to get a signal out there. So,
well,
not that I'm bitter at all.
No.
Otherwise, everyone's very cheery. My understanding is that there are 2,000 more people this year than there were last year. So we're in the neighborhood of like 13,000 people. All of them are in front of me in the hallways walking slowly, simultaneously. everyone's very cheery, as they probably should be. My understanding is that Newt Gingrich, he may have just finished up speaking in the main ballroom. No one began chanting "Scusa Fava" the way I had been threatening to. So no ill will on that front. Look, everyone is in fairly good spirits, as they probably should be. And like I said, very big turnout. Minute logistical details, but otherwise all is well here at CPAC.
Well, the big buzz today is that Donald Trump will be speaking sometime this afternoon. So if he says anything eventful, we can talk about that tomorrow. And obviously, the big news on the world stage is Egypt, but we're going to leave that until we actually know what's happened there and after President Mubarak makes his announcement. But
actually, Greg, I've just been handed this. Mubarak is here at CPAC and will be running for the Arizona Senate seat. That's the big surprise.
Exactly. Well, he got all of his eligibility taken care of. That's good.
Yeah.
Let's move to...
He has a birth certificate that says he was born in Hawaii, Greg.
The very first topic today, which is the good news, one that we just missed time-wise on Wednesday, and that's that the Virginia seat, currently held by first-term Democratic Senator Jim Webb, will be an open seat come 2012. That's good news for Republicans who had high hopes of winning that even if he did run for re-election. Jim, you saw this one coming through fundraising numbers and everything else. Does this mean Republicans now are a prohibitive favorite?
It's not a lock, but obviously it's looking very strong. If I had to say, I think George Allen probably has the inside track in terms of name ID, fundraising prowess, et cetera, on the Republican side. He was going to have probably a roughly 50-50 chance against Webb as is. Basically, it's worth noting that Webb only beat him by less than 1% last time out, and that was with Allen running a campaign that simply could not do anything right. Now, with this year, there's a lot of talk about Tim Kaine, the current DNC chair and former part-time governor of Virginia. I say that because he was DNC chair,
right,
and governor at the same time. And as a Virginian, I can point out I couldn't tell that he had left. Kaine is kind of the Democrats' last hope. There's a little bit of talk of Tom Perriello. And Greg, I don't know about you. Whenever I have an open Senate seat, I look for a guy who served one term and lost unceremoniously after that one term in the House. A guy who was elected in a great wave election for Democrats and then lost in a great wave election for Republicans. We don't know what the Republican environment is in the electoral environment in Virginia is going to be like in 2012, but it's hard to believe it'll be as bad as 2006. And maybe it won't be as good as 2009 or 2010. But obviously, in an open seat, the Republicans probably have at least a slight advantage there. And that's, fairly good news. You're seeing some really just delightfully depressed comments from Democrats off the record in various publications.
Yeah, one of them said the seat is going to flip as if it's already a done deal. The interesting thing about Kaine is that every interview speculating about what Webb might do because of those paltry fundraising numbers last year, Kaine was like, "I'm happy in my job. There's no other job that I want." Now that the news is out there, he says, "I'm perfectly happy in my current job. And unless the president personally asks me to run, I'm not going to get involved with this," which is sounds to me like he's begging the president to ask him to run so he doesn't have to take responsibility for what may be another pounding in congressional elections in 2 years.
Yeah, the preceding denials are basically what he has to say. You really can't be seen as trying to knock somebody out, particularly when you're running the party's national committee.
Right.
Nonetheless, I got to say, look, Kaine was not overwhelming. Like, maybe there are polls there. I remember quite a few Democrats willing to say that the 4 years of Tim Kaine's governorship really seemed like kind of just treading water, that you really hadn't seen major significant reforms, and you kind of had been coasting on the record assembled by former governor and current senator Mark Warner. So, Kaine, in terms terms of name ID and in terms of fundraising, well, obviously probably the best advantage of any Democrat out there. But again, probably going to be a tough environment for Democrats in this state in 2012.
Let's quickly move on to martini number two, the bad news, and that's that the number two Republican in the Senate, Arizona's John Kyle, three-term Republican, will also not be seeking re-election next year. Arizona's still pretty much a red state. Republicans did very well there in the midterms last year. So it's possible that a guy like Jeff Flake, there's already rumors that he's going to jump into this race, and that would be great. But at the same time, it's a little bit tough to watch a guy like John Kyle go. He's very solid, very sober, not one to give in to histrionics, just really solid senator. And it's going to be sorry to see him go. Hopefully the conservatives can take it with someone like Flake, which would not be much of a drop off at all.
No, I was going to say, it's worth noting that a short while ago I posted on Campaign Spot what my Arizona guys were telling me in terms of potential candidates, and we may have used up all the space on the internet listing all of them. Basically, if you're a Republican in Arizona, you're being mentioned as a potential Senate candidate. And then you go down the list. I mean, Flake would be fantastic. There are a lot of solid members of Congress out there. You just go down all the different qualities, and I was like, boy, you know who'd be really good to run for this Senate seat, Greg?
Who's that?
John Kyle. Unfortunately, you know, so it's one of those things where the other intriguing notion, I have no idea whether this is going to be any serious, but you're already hearing Democrats saying, boy, if Gabrielle Giffords is healthy enough, she should run. Now, obviously, that's a huge if, huge question, and
sure.
I think there's a little, the speculation rubs me a little bit the wrong way, but you can't begrudge them for taking a figure who's now nationally known and probably enormous, you know, deep reserves of public sympathy for that. Whether that amounts to anything probably has a lot more to do with her health and what she wants to do with her life moving forward. Certainly, this is all of a sudden what everybody kind of figured was a safe Republican seat is now going to be on the seats. You got to watch very closely and see how they shake out in the primaries.
Yes, and of course, if one of the congressional members jumps in, then you've got a congressional seat to defend. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking of open congressional seats, Jim, let's move on to martini number three, which on a normal day would be number two. Congressman Christopher Lee from New York's 25th Congressional District. He's from the Buffalo area. He just started his second term, and now he resigned in what is possibly the shortest scandal while in office ever, because he was out of office within a couple of hours after it was revealed that on Gawker.com, which is a very reputable site, there's a picture of him shirtless that he sent to a woman that he was apparently trying to pick up through Craigslist personal ads. And oh, by the way, the congressman is married with a small child. So John Boehner wasting no time getting him out. I guess that's the good side of this, making it clear that this guy has had problems before. Boehner apparently warned him about his relationships and is just the way he dealt with female lobbyists. But obviously in a swing district, it's not good for Republicans. But a guy like this, probably good to get rid of him.
Greg, is this a swing district or swinger district? This way, boy, you know. You know, somebody said, boy, he has a wife, a child, and no understanding of how the internet works. Although now he'll get to be a divorced lobbyist, which apparently was the
right
role he was yearning to play. You know, fast-moving scandal. When Jake Tapper was joking about this at some fancy dinner last night, he said, yeah, I realize these jokes are totally 4 p.m. Because by the end of the evening, he was already out of there. An embarrassment. It'll open up another House seat. We'll have to see how that that special election goes. But Republican held, and so obviously the Republicans probably will have a good chance. But I think no one saw this coming, and no one really knows precisely who the candidates are going to be. Just the only good silver lining to this very embarrassing incident is to say how quickly it responded. And again, paraphrasing some comments from Jake Tapper, he didn't massa it out. He didn't try to foley it, so to speak. He didn't Larry Craig this whole thing. We've seen a lot of members of Congress hang on through very embarrassing incidents and just kind of think that they can just wait for the storm to pass. And if there's any, molecule of dignity that Chris Lee can take away from this, it's that he didn't drag this out, got off the stage, and understood that it's time for him to find something else to do with his life, perhaps become a divorced lobbyist.
Yeah, two quick thoughts before we close here on that, and that's that one of my favorite questions I've heard with an anchor talking to a reporter about this is, did he have a reputation as a strong philanderer before he was elected to Congress? And number two,
as opposed to a weak philanderer, he just wasn't committed to it.
Exactly. And secondly, just as a point of reference for all you members of Congress out there, particularly Republicans, the only Craigslist activity your constituents want is for you looking for a futon so you can sleep in your office and save them some taxpayer dollars so you don't have to buy a place to live on Capitol Hill.
Well put, Greg.
Jim, enjoy the rest of the conference. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I hopefully will be able to hear from you probably by carrier pigeon sometime in the next 24 hours.
Very good.
See you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us tomorrow for the next 3 Martini Lunch.